Sanam, dear listeners, Sanam team, Radio Sai's Bishu, and welcome once again to Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom. Today we have a lovely bhajan on Lord Krishna. Very beautiful lyrics, lovely tune. So this is how the first line of the bhajan flows.
Nache tribhanga Krishna murari.
So this bhajan has four lines in all, so we will get familiar with the lyrics of the bhajan and then we'll move on to the tune, the raga, the beat, and then we'll take every word of this bhajan like we do in every episode of this program and dwell on what they convey to us. So let's get started becoming familiar with the lyrics of the bhajan.
Nache tribhanga Krishna murari, baje mridanga manjula bheri, Karunantaranga Yuga Avatari Sri Sai Ranga Bhava Bhaya Hari.
So now that you know the lyrics, here is how this bhajan should be sung. Brother Srinivasulu along with Brother Anirudh will now give us a demonstration of the tune of the bhajan.
We are singing this in C sharp Madhyam.
Nache tribhanga Krishna murari.
Nache tribhanga Krishna murari.
Nache tribhanga Krishna murari.
Nache tribhanga Krishna murari.
Baje mridanga manjula bheri.
Baje mridanga manjula bheri.
Baje mridanga manjula bheri.
Baje mridanga manjula bheri.
Nache tribhanga Krishna murari.
Nache tribhanga Krishna murari.
Karunantaranga Yuga avatari.
Karunantaranga Yuga avatari.
Karunantaranga Yuga avatari.
Karunantaranga Yuga avatari.
Sri Sai Ranga Bhava Bhaya Hari.
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 Nache Tribhanga Krishna Murari.
So that's the lovely tune of this beautiful bhajan. I'm sure people who have heard this bhajan for the first time or people who have heard it before but want to sing it would be really interested to know how to play this bhajan, how to master this bhajan, because there's such a melodious tune and such lovely phrases. So let us learn a little more about the composition. Anirudh is here with us. So tell us, Anirudh, what are your thoughts on the raga of the bhajan?
Sairam Vishu.
Sairam.
First of all, more than the raga of the bhajan, I was amazed by the lyrics of the bhajan.
Yes, absolutely.
As there are so many new words.
Yes.
Which we generally don't come across in the other Sai bhajans.
Yes.
Nache tribhanga. Probably you will be more going deep into the lyrics, the word by word meaning of
but
the
I
bhajan.
I don't know if any other bhajan tribhanga comes.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
And it is a very interesting aspect of Lord Krishna which is uncovered in the
yes,
bhajans actually.
Generally, yeah.
Generally we call Krishna by many names like Namavalis, but
yes.
Nache Tribhanga is something which is very unique.
Yes.
And the tune also justifies so much to the lyric of the bhajan.
Mm.
It is very pleasant. The tune is composed in a, I can say it is largely based on a Carnatic raga called Sri Ranjini, where the notes are something like this. Sa Re Shudri Ga Komal Ga Ma Da Ni Sa Sa Ni Da Ma Ga Re Sa. It sounds more familiar, right? This yes. set of swaras, it sounds more like Bageshri, which is a very well-known popular raga in both the streams of music. Whereas Bageshri, you have the similar notes, but you also have the pa when you come down. So it will be something like Sa Ni Da Ma Pa Da Ga Ga Ma Re Sa. And when you go up, it is Sa Ga Ma Da Ni Sa. Whereas in Sri Ranjani, it is Sa Re. It goes to Re and then goes to the Ga. When you come to the bhajan, this intricacies may not be exactly followed, like the traversing of the notes for Sri Ranjani is through Re and through Ga. So it is as the inspiration, how he gets, the composer gets. So that's why we can classify into, it's kind of based on this raga.
Yeah.
But whereas there will be some deviations of like Shuddh Ga, or suppose you take in this bhajan.
Nache Tribhunga Krishna Murari La La,
that is the Shuddh Ga. Ga, which is nowhere in the raga. But see, when you see as a composition, how nicely the Shuddh Ga is blended, and without even knowing that, you know, you have made a major change, or you have taken a detour from the raga. So that's the beauty of music, and the blessing in which you get when the composer prays to Swami and gets the composition.
Ragas, the swaras arrange themselves to express what is emerging from your heart.
Exactly. And it helps to get your emotion right.
Yes.
So if you want pathos, if you want more pining, you choose ragas like Shivaranjani, Charukeshi, or whatever it comes from, just from the heart. When you sing from the heart, it just comes. So, and raga helps to compose, to get the mood right, to keep your notes and the lyrics. It'll basically, it gives the whole life to the composition.
Yes.
Whereas the very root of the any composition is the lyrics, because without lyrics there is no meaning at all.
Yeah.
So once there is lyrics, then the tune, and then finally the most important is the bhava, in which we, that's what we, it's a challenge in which we pray every day, we try to get the feeling, knowing the meaning of the song.
Yes.
And knowing little bit of music helps us to go deep into the bhava, because when we go to the bhava, we should forget of the technical aspects of the curves, the variations, the note.
Yes.
Ideally, we should, like how Swami says, the 25 times each.
Yes.
So that's what reminds us.
I mean, absolutely. I mean, once the lyrics are there, then it's only a question of how do I communicate these lyrics to the Lord.
Yes.
And then everything else flows from that.
And in that lyrics, the more simpler, the more easier.
Easier.
So when you have, that's why Namavalis are more very simple to sing. And most of the vintage bhajans have Namavalis.
Namavalis, absolutely. And because this is a bhajan and not a song, and because this is something which is a sadhana for all the devotees collectively.
Yes,
I think that is the reason why Swami was always for simple names and, you know, simple lyrics and easy to follow tunes. Here and there you have little interesting patterns, but more or less this is something that only enables you to express whatever is happening in your heart to the Lord.
Yes, absolutely. And when I sing this Nache Tribhanga Krishna Murari bhajan, I am reminded of many other bhajans which need not be in Sri Ranjani, as I told you before. But it's in the same flavor with the help of Bhageshri and the same feel. So some of the bhajans are
Om Namah Shivaya Namo Narayana Amba Mandahas Shama
He Ghana Shama.
Beautiful bhajan.
He Paramadayalu Saira.
Yes, not sung
and
so often.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And also in this bhajan, it is exactly like Krishna Murari, as I told you, the Shuddhika. Bhagavan, Bhagavan. So you have the play of both the gas there. It's a perfect example. Nache Tribhunga Krishna Murari Gamadani Dama Gamadi Sagama
Gamadani Dama Gamadi Sagama
Again, we come back to Nache Tribhanga. The next line. Karunantaranga Yugavatari Magamadanida Sasanida Sasa
Magamadanida Sasanida Sasa
In fact, the last line sounds very similar to Om Namah Shivaya Namo Narayana.
Okay, so let's do the beat of the bhajan too.
The beat of this bhajan is 8 beat, Aditalam or Kaherva in the classical music. Let's have the count. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Nache Tribhanga Krishna Murari Nache Tribhanga Krishna Murari
Baje Mridanga Manjula Bheri
Baje Mridanga Manjula Bheri
Karunantaranga Yugavatari
Karunantaranga Yugavatari
Shri Sai Ranga Bhava Bhaya Hari
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 Nache Tribhunga Krishna Murari.
So I think that gives us a good idea of the raga and the beat. Thank you so much, Anirudh and Arun Sai.
Thank you, Vishu. Sairam.
So it's time now to move on to the beautiful aspect. Next in bhajan singing, we have done with the raga, we have done with the tala. It's time now for bhava. It's time now for what this bhajan can do to us. So let's take the first line.
Nache Tribhanga Krishna Murari.
Nache means dance. Tribhanga comes from tree, means three, and bhanga means bend. So Tribhanga pose refers to the body which is bent at three places, at the neck, at the torso and at the knees. We are referring to the posture, the dance posture of Krishna. Nache Tribhanga Krishna Murari. How is Krishna dancing? Krishna has such a beautiful, delicate, tender, slender limbs and
how so dexterously he dances. So that is the feel of this first line, Nache Tribhanga, Krishna Murari. In fact, Tribhanga reminds one of the beautiful statue of Lord Krishna in the Sai Ramesh Hall in Vrindavan. It is in front of this statue that Bhagwan always listened to the Sai Bhajans every time he emerged from Darshan in Trai Vrindavan. The statue still stands, and this is the statue of Vrindavan. If the Bangalore ashram of Bhagwan is called Vrindavan, in this Vrindavan, there is the Krishna. It is the Tribhanga Krishna. In fact, when this idol was brought to Vrindavan for installation in the Darshan Hall, in the Sai Ramesh Hall, Bhagwan was very pleased to see this statue, and he called the Rajmata of Navanagar to have a look at the idol. And as she came in and was looking at the idol with joy writ large on her face, Swami asked her, "Rajmata, how is this Krishna? Is he beautiful?" And the Rajmata looked at Bhagwan and said, "None can be as beautiful as my Kanhaiya." In fact, the Rajmata of Navanagar always addressed Swami as Kanhaiya. For her, Swami was always Krishna. And she said, "Swami, there is no one more beautiful than you." And when Bhagwan heard this, you know, there was a bewitching smile on his radiant face. And then Bhagwan asked the principal of the Vrindavan college there, "Do you know who is her Kanhaiya?" And the principal looked at Swami with bewilderment, because he didn't know what Swami was actually referring to. So that was a sweet moment concerning the Tribhanga statue in the Sai Ramesh Hall. The beautiful Lord takes beautiful forms and he dances so that the creation can be set in motion. In fact, one particular year in Vrindavan, Swami actually danced to teach the boys who were preparing for a Burakatha presentation in the Sai Ramesh Hall. The Burakatha is a traditional Telugu folk art form where three boys sing and narrate the story, and even as they do that, they also dance. They put different steps in rhythm of the song. And Bhagwan wanted them to do these steps in the right manner and in a very vibrant manner. Swami was actually sitting on the jhula and he was seeing how these boys were practicing. And then at some point, Bhagwan asked the boys to stop. And then he called the main singer of this Burakatha trio and told, "You are all singing well, but you also need to dance well for a good Burakatha presentation. That rhythm, that dance is not coming out properly." And saying this, Bhagwan got up from the jhula. He lifted his robe slightly so that his feet were visible. And then himself put those steps in rhythm with the song and said, "See, this is how you have to dance." He was actually dancing. In fact, this reminds us how Bhagwan once said, "I alone know the agony of teaching you every step of the dance." Well, that was a confession by the dance master of the universe. So not only he dances, he's constantly teaching us how to be in tune with the rhythm of the universe. The other two words are Krishna and Murari. Krishna, we know, means the one who attracts, Karshate iti Krishna, the one who enraptures us with his music, with his art, with his love, with his magic, with his music. And Murari can be split into Mura and Ari. Ari means enemy. Mura is a demon. So Murari is the one who is the adversary of Mura. There is the story of how Krishna vanquished Mura. In fact, Mura, as I mentioned, is a demon who prayed to Brahma for years, and when the Lord appeared, he asked for a boon which he thought will make him immortal. He said, "O Lord, give me this boon that if anyone touches me in any battlefield, that person will die immediately, even if the other person is immortal." And the Lord gave him this boon. So Mura became unconquerable. At the same time, as it happens most of the time, his ego also became uncontrollable. And he started causing havoc in earth and heaven. All the gods were terrified by his atrocities. Finally, he started attacking Yama, the god of death, and Yama didn't know where to go for refuge. Yama went to Lord Vishnu, and Lord Vishnu said, "Don't worry, you send Mura to me." So Mura finally is in front of Lord Vishnu, and Lord Vishnu asks him, "Mura, what do you want?" And Mura says, "I want to fight with you," because he knows that if anyone fights with him, they will be destroyed. But then Lord Vishnu says, "Okay, if you wish to fight with me, why is your heart trembling so much? Are you really scared? I don't fight with anyone who is so frightened." And when Mura heard that, he was confused. He was really in doubt. So what he did is, he tried to touch his heart to check if what Lord Vishnu said was right. And at this point in time, as soon as he touched his heart, he killed himself. The Lord has said, if anyone touches you in any battlefield, that person will not survive. But he himself touched his heart, thinking he is in the battlefield, and that is what brought his downfall. As Swami always says, our ego is what will always bring our downfall. The Lord need not do anything. Lord Vishnu didn't have to do anything. Lord Vishnu didn't need to use any weapon. All he did was just witnessed how the ego of Mura killed him. Because he kills the ego in our minds, the Lord is called Murari. So in this line, Nache Tribhang Krishna Murari, we pay our obeisance to that divine dancer, to that divine orchestrator, who is the master artist of this creation and who is incessantly working so that we give up our ego and learn to live in tune with the rhythm of our soul. Let's move on to the next line.
Baje mridanga manjula bheri.
Baje means play. Mridanga, as many know, is the Indian percussion instrument. The name is said to come from the Sanskrit word mrit, meaning earth, and anga means limb. Because in the earlier times, mridangams were made of hardened clay. It is a two-headed drum made of wood from the jackfruit tree. Manjula means melodious or lovely or charming. Bheri is the kettle drum. So Baje Mridanga Manjula Bheri, it is again describing the beautiful music that is emanating from the kettle drum and the mridanga as the Lord is dancing. In fact, it is said that three instruments are auspicious: Veena, Venu and Mridangam, because these instruments are played by the Divine Himself. You have Veena being played by the consort of Lord Brahma, by Mother Saraswati. Venu is played by Lord Krishna, and Mridangam is played by Lord Shiva and Nandi. So all the divine instruments are engaged, accompanying the Lord who is merrily dancing. As the Lord dances in our heart, we exult in the charming music that emanates from our being. Baje mridanga manjula bheri. Let's move on to the next line.
Nache tribhanga Krishna murari.
So we have the first line, which is repeated again as the third line. In fact, Nache tribhanga also reminds one of how Lord Krishna danced on the hood of snake Kaliya, and it is said that the syllables that form the basis for the footwork in this dance, named Ta, Tei and Tat, are the bedrock of the dance form called Kathak. So when Krishna danced on the serpent Kaliya, that became an art form for generations to pursue. And the other interesting thing that happened when Krishna danced on this poisonous serpent is that as he danced, all the poison from the serpent Kaliya just came out of his being. He became absolutely poisonless. That is what happens. Swami says, when the Lord's name dances on our tongue, all that is evil in us comes out and we become purified. And that is the reason why we should always have the Lord's name dancing in our being. Let's move on to the next line.
Karunantaranga Yugavatari.
Karuna means compassion. Karunantaranga, antaranga means the indweller. Yuga, we know, is a unit of time. During the summer course of 1978, Bhagwan explained the concept of Yuga and said, from time to time, God appears as an avatar for the purpose of showing the divinity that is contained in human beings and for setting an exemplary life as an example. It is said that God takes a human form so that he is accessible to human beings and so that human beings derive the bliss of living with the divine. So that is how we have all these yugas, the Satyuga, the Trita Yuga, the Dwapar Yuga, so the different periods of time when the Lord incarnated. Avatari means incarnation. So in a broad sense, everything in the universe is a manifestation of God. Yet the term avatar or avatari is reserved for incarnations wherein the Lord deliberately assumed a specific form for a specific purpose. Does the avatar come to establish dharma? Which dharma does he come to establish? Bhagwan revealed this in a very beautiful manner, and Dr. K. Anil Kumar, an alumnus of Bhagwan's university, shared this with us during a conversation. Let me play for you this clip.
Most of the discourses Ram is to give in to hostel boys, Ram is to say, have a relationship with me.
Mm-hmm.
Have a relationship with God. Same thing what Swami said in the 48th birthday, I told you, right? Have a relationship with me in your heart and you will be rewarded.
Yes.
In the public speech what Swami had told, Swami should tell all the students, have a relationship, be it mother, be it father, be it friend, whatever relationship you want to have with me, but have a relationship. I will respond, Swami is to say. A very important message for every human being. Because this is the message, this is the purpose for avatar's descent. Very, very important message. I will go to another experience to tell this message. So this is 1984. Swami is to give a series of discourses on Bhagavad Gita in the Bhajan Hall in the evening around 4:30. So the discourses immediately after college, we all used to rush into the Bhajan Hall. Swami is to, there used to be one person who used to speak about Bhagavad Gita for a while, and after which Swami will give a discourse on Bhagavad Gita. And we were all made to learn the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, and we used to recite that during those days. So it so happened that during this, as the discourses were going on, 34 discourses Swami had given. As this was going on, in the college, couple of our faculty members, in the morning, they were discussing, because Gita was the topic that Swami was talking about, so they were discussing among themselves. This later on, the faculty members spoke in the foyer and told us this experience. They were discussing among themselves in the staff room and saying there is something wrong or we have not understood what Krishna has said. He says in Gita that whenever there is a decline of dharma, he takes an avatar to uplift dharma. Right? This, every one of us know this stanza. But then if you really see what has happened, Rama had come and gone, Treta became Dwapara. So there was a decline of dharma. Krishna came, Lord Krishna came, and after Lord Krishna's leaving the mortal coils, Dwapara became Kali. So there is a decline of dharma rather than upliftment of dharma. So has the avatar failed each time he had come to do something? Right? A very important question. They were really confused.
Mm.
In Bhagavad Gita, if you read, it says, to uplift dharma, he takes an avatar. And on the other side, if you really see what has happened,
over time it has only deteriorated.
And that too immediately after the avatars, this one there was a deterioration, rather than ascendance.
Yes.
Right? So that evening, this is how Swami responds and answers every this kind of, especially questions and queries that people had in spiritual life about our scriptures. Swami used to immediately respond and clarify. That evening in the discourse, Swami was actually speaking about 12th chapter, suddenly went off to this stanza and said the same statement. He said, people think Krishna gave this pratignya that I will uplift dharma. But every time God comes and goes, there is a decline of dharma.
Swami said.
And then Swami said, what is the dharma that Krishna mentioned in his Gita? When God says dharma, what is the dharma that God is referring to? He said, there are two dharmas. One is deha dharma, other is atma dharma. Deha dharma will go as per the cycle. It will grow, it will decay, it will grow, it will decay. This is a cycle which goes on. And God is not bothered about deha dharma.
It's concerned with the body.
It's concerned with the body. The atma dharma, which Swami also said, is prema dharma. Mm-hmm. Why? It is the relationship of jivatma with paramatma. And that when it decays, God comes to revive, restore that. Swami said, it is because Krishna came and went. There were Gopikas, there was Mirabai, there was Surdas. It is because Rama came and went, the relationship with Rama of with the Ayodhyavasis, with the Vanaras, and then took. Swami said, even for that matter, Tyagaraja happened because of Rama avatar. So avatar's only goal is to restore the link of man with God.
Wow.
That is the goal of avatar's descent. He descends only to strengthen our relationship with him. And that's what Swami used to tell all of us in various discourses. Even in that 48th birthday, the landmark discourse, what Swami said, have a relationship with me in your heart and you will be rewarded. It is the relationship of the Jivatma with the Paramatma, which is the most critical and most important dharma, which will liberate us. That is the dharma which liberates us. Not the Deha Dharma. So Lord comes to revive that dharma. So beautifully Swami explained it that time. He said, it is not the Deha Dharma. Deha Dharma will decline. As per the cycle of yugas, it will decline, it will grow. And because it is his creation, he wants it to go that way. There is no question of that being changed. So externally you are seeing the Deha Dharma decay and you are feeling the Deha Dharma has decayed and therefore avatar has not done what he has come down to do. And if you really now look back and see Swami, the kind of relationship Swami has revived for all of us with the Lord.
Absolutely.
Phenomenal. For the millions of us, right? He is the only one who is the link. Who is the one who is. He is the goal, he is the link, he is the means.
Yes. So that is the reason why the Lord incarnates in our midst. Everything that the Lord does has always love as the basis. Let me also narrate a beautiful and touching incident which illustrates this endless compassion of our Lord. Way back in 1980, imposing buildings such as the Prashantilam campus, college building, the university block and the higher secondary school had not yet come up. The only educational institution at that point in time was the Ishwarama High School, and the then principal was Mr. E. Amanna Shastri. So one day Mr. Shastri experienced severe chest pain, which was later diagnosed as a mild heart attack, and the doctors advised him to take bed rest for a week. They told him not to strain himself and also to avoid speaking. And having come to know of his illness, many visitors started frequenting his residence, and because of this, he could not really take much rest as advised by the doctors. After a couple of days, suddenly, a donkey arrived at the doorstep of Mr. Shastri's residence, and he settled there comfortably. With the donkey right in front of their residence, the number of visitors went down. The donkey was on guard at the doorstep until Mr. Shastri recovered completely. After his recovery, when Mr. Shastri had an occasion to talk to Bhagwan, he thanked Bhagwan for having saved him from the heart attack, and Swami then, with a loving smile, chided him, saying, "What to do? I had to assume the form of a donkey in order to guard you from visitors who are frequently disturbing you." Imagine the Lord's compassion. He doesn't mind even becoming a donkey for a devotee if that is what will help him to recover, that is what will help him to get better, if that is what will contribute to his or her welfare. That is the unfathomable depths of compassion that the Lord has for each one of us. He will do anything for a devotee.
Sri Sai Ranga Bhava Bhaya Hari.
And finally, the last line, Sri Sai Ranga Bhava Bhaya Hari. So here we pay our obeisance to Lord Sai, who is the same one who came as Lord Krishna, who the same one who incarnates age after age, who is the Yugavatari. And he is the Ranga. In the whole world is a stage, and the Lord is the master orchestrator. That is why he is called Ranganatha, because the whole world is a Ranga, is a stage, and he is the Lord of this stage. So here, Sri Sai Ranga. So who is this Lord of this cosmos? Who is this master of this entire orchestration that we see around us? It is Lord Sai. So here we say Sri Sai Ranga Bhava Bhaya Hari. Bhava Bhaya Hari means Bhava Bhaya is the fear of earthly existence. Hari is the one who removes that fear. So here we have the master orchestrator of this cosmos who removes all fear from our lives. As Swami says, "Why fear when I am here?" So says Baba, Satya Sai Baba, Satya Sai Baba, my Lord. Krishna, Buddha, Jesus, Allah, all came to this land. All of them brought the message of love, to love thy fellow man. That is what the Lord is. And that is what is conveyed in this last line. The Lord is here all the time to fill us with His grace, to remove traces of fear. If we have to fear anything, we fear only sin and love the Lord. That is what Bhagwan says, Deva Priti, Papa Bhiti, Sanganiti. So that is what is conveyed in this last line. So dear listeners, with that we have some idea of what this bhajan conveys. Let's move on now and sing this bhajan once again, along with the students in Prashanthi Nilayam.
Nache Tribhang Krishna Murari.
Nache Tribhang Krishna Murari.
Nache Tribhang Krishna Murari.
Mrdanga manjula bheri,
baje mrdanga Mandula Beni
Nache Tribhanga Krishna Murari
Nache Tribhanga Krishna Murari
Karuna Saranga Yuga Avatari
Karuna Saranga Yuga Avatari
Sri Sai Ranga Bhava Bhaya Hari
So that brings us to the end of the current episode of Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom. If you have any queries or comments, as always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. With heart full of gratitude, we offer this endeavor at the lotus feet of our beloved Bhagwan.
To thee.